Last year was a startup year, and again, I just point out we produced 30% more gold than we planned, and that's just, you know, efficiency of the system, and we had good grades and good recoveries.
Rick Van Nieuwenhuyse, Contango Ore, what's going on, my friend? How are you?
And Andy, good to catch up again here. I'm very good. We just spent 3 days in Zurich. Very, very busy 3 days. It was a great conference.
Yeah, tell me about that. And I know we were talking offline a little bit. You said you had some good meetings over there with investors, some really strong buying in Europe for you guys. Just comment just briefly on that.
Yeah, I mean, we had it's a 3 day conference. It's the European Gold Forum, you know, put on by the Denver Gold Group, and they do that every year in this time of year. And obviously, with gold moving up pretty strongly over the last several months here, it was a pretty busy conference. We had, I think, 40 meetings over the 3 day period. It was pretty much back to back, start at breakfast and all the way through just before dinner. So, good series of meetings, about a third, existing shareholders and two thirds, new investors interested in the story.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It really is. And I know, from experience, Europeans have a really longer term look at the market. If you would, they are much more in the buy and hold camp. So good for you and good for Contango, good for me, because I'm a shareholder as well, just so everybody knows, and good for Contango Ore. Real quick here, you had some great news that hit about three days ago. I want to say it was Monday or Tuesday that hit. I was looking at the press release. Tell me about that. And you guys are, well, I'll just give you all my viewers and listeners a preview. You guys are printing cash, so I want you to comment about that.
Yeah, it was our first batch campaign for 2025. We had previously given guidance towards the end of last year that we're planning on producing about 60,000 ounces of gold for our 30% share of the Manh Choh project. The first campaign of 2025 concluded. And just as a reminder, we basically run a campaign every quarter in the middle month of the quarter. So, February, May, and then August and November. And the campaign roughly lasts 30 days. When I speak about campaign, it's the mill portion of the campaign. And then there's usually about 3 weeks after that as it's going through the rest of the circuit, the CIP circuit and the elution circuit, and then eventually into Doré, then that which gets shipped off to the refinery. So that whole process takes about 7 weeks. So we're not, this campaign is, in terms of gold sales, is not quite done, but we're about halfway through gold sales. And based on that, we received a $24 million dividend from the Peak Gold joint venture, which is a fair bit more than we had planned. And we still have a little less than half of the gold left to sell. And it comes, you know, kind of trickling in over the next 2-3 weeks. So we like the gold price. We're going to make a fair bit of money and more than planned. And the gold pour, I just mentioned, it was, it's about 30% above, the 15,000 ounces that we had guided to. As I mentioned, you know, 60,000 ounces over the course of the year with gold pours, basically done each quarter, you know, that's roughly 15,000 ounces each quarter, but we produced 19,500 ounces this first quarter. So a good start to the year. Obviously gold prices are doing well and, it's a very strong start. So we're very pleased with productivity, and obviously it's winter months in Alaska. So, it's good to see that, the road haul, the truck haul is going well. The bridge weight restrictions are in place, but we're managing obviously to get a fair bit of ore, more than planned, about 30% more tons to the mill. And I should say that the additional gold sales from this campaign are due to more tons delivered, not higher grades or better recoveries. The recoveries are good. They're 93.5%, which is above plan. Gold grade average, gold grade was slightly below plan, but they basically balance out. But the larger amount of gold production in the first quarter is mainly due to tons delivered to the mill. So a good start to the year.
Okay, that was going to be my second question, but you already answered it. But I do want you to comment on it again. This is due to production, not necessarily, well, not because of the gold price, correct?
Oh, yeah. I know the price of the gold price is just kind of icing on the cake. The additional, you know, the 30% more production than planned is a result of delivering more tons to the Fort Knox mill. And this is in the wintertime, I point out. So, you know, generally, if we're going to have any sort of interruptions in truck transport, hauling the ore to the mill, it would be, it tends to be in the wintertime for weather delays and things like that. So yeah, the tons delivered to the mill, and it was 323,000 tons. Grade was pretty much spot on. It was just, you know, slightly lower than planned, but within a few percent. And then recovery was a little better than planned at by the same amount, but 1 or 2%. So yeah, it's all about delivering tons, and obviously we're very pleased with that. Certainly given the news, you know, that we gave to the market last November, end of November around Thanksgiving, that cut our share price in half. And so we're definitely on track here, delivering the amount of gold that we had guided to. And we won't get cost till probably late April, early May, but we'll certainly be reporting that with our Q1 financials when they come out in early May.
Yeah. If I could ask, then how were you able to do that? Can you comment on whatever you can comment on about how did you?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, last year was a startup year. And again, I just point out we produced 30% more gold than we planned. And that's just, you know, efficiency of the system, and we had good grades and good recoveries. The news in late November that the bridge weight restrictions were going to reduce the amount of effective transport we had, you know, bottom line is we worked out a few of the bugs, and I'm using the royal we here again. It's the Kinross Peak Gold team that's doing this. They've worked out a few bugs, and we're back up about 45 tons in a truckload rather than, you know, the 50 is what we designed for, what the feasibility was based on. So we've worked out a few things to get the truckloads up to 45. The bridge weight restriction's still in place. You know, that was a bit, you know, not good news, but, you know, we've, the troops have rallied, and we're, you know, basically delivering about 45 tons in a truckload, which is not bad. So again, that's how we were able to get, you know, 30% more gold production. Again, it's all about delivering tons to the mill.
Yeah, got it. So I guess what's the plan moving forward is, please, yeah, let me know, comment about that. And then meaning plan is, how do you, are you going to keep on doing what you're doing to maintain this kind of production, or is this a one-off?
Yeah, no. So, you know, we're going into the summer months here in Alaska, and it's, you know, it's still frozen ground, and it's springtime to us in Alaska, but everybody else would call it the middle of winter where they mostly live. But that means that, you know, it's warmer temperatures, longer days, sunlight. You know, you lived up there, you know what I'm talking about. Springtime, you know, ice melts, and that's a good thing, because that has been a problem. I think I mentioned the moisture content. I think we're through sort of the worst of that part of the seasonality of, you know, frozen ice being mixed up with the ore and the stockpile, because it'll melt, and then you don't get that problem. So yeah, we're working through these things. You know, last year again was a startup year. We produced more gold than planned, so it was a good startup. But you learn things about the ore body, not just the ore body, but about, you know, your stockpile area, And learn that the water tends to accumulate there. So you got to put some proper ditching in place and some berms to keep the water out. So all those things are things that'll be worked on to get us back as close to the 50 ton design of the trucks as possible. We'll just keep working on it.
Yeah. So, if I can ask then, that's a significant windfall of cash. What is the plan then, for using that money? What is that going to be allotted to? And, what's the direction from that?
Yeah. Well, I guess, the expression, we don't want to, count our chickens before they hatch sort of thing. It's a good start to the year. Our first order of business is delivering into the hedges and paying down debt. Those were our two big priorities. So we're going to continue to do that. Our next campaign is set for May, which we're already in the middle, approaching the first week of April. And it's been an exciting week, of course, with Liberation Day, and markets are trying to digest what all that means. But I think in the end, it'll be very good for gold. So we're going to continue to guide the 60,000 ounces of gold. And if we can keep delivering a little more gold than planned, I think that'll be a good thing. And a key thing, of course, is that we also guide to our all-in sustaining costs, which was guided to $1,625. We want to at least come in there, and if we can do a little better, that'd be great. Last year we guided the production for the 2024 period at $1,200, and we came in at $1,209. So I think we're staying on top of things and giving proper guidance, which I always think is really important for any company and certainly any gold company, because we do have volatility is definitely part of the mix in today's world. So staying on top of that and making sure we're providing the accurate information to our investors and shareholders is a key part of my job and Mike Clark's job, my CFO. So we'll continue to stay on top of that.
I'm going to comment about that myself personally in just a moment there, but tell me a little bit about, I guess, you started buying, we can mention this, we can because it's public info. You start buying more in the open market here. Tell me about that and the value that you see.
I mean, I think the stock is tremendously undervalued. I think, prior to the announcement in end of November about the bridge weight restrictions and the reduction in the weight of the ore haul, the truck weight limitation. And essentially went from 50 down towards 42 or so. That's a significant reduction, and that means you're delivering less gold. So we knew that wasn't going to be good news by the market, but I did not expect it to get cut down to $10. So at $10, and you saw in the press release that we released on Monday that, we're going to generate $80 million of free cash flow at a $2,800 gold. Well, we're already over 3,000. So for every additional $100, that means about almost $2 million more dollars of free cash flow we have. Every $100 increase in the gold price, that means almost $2 million more dollars of free cash flow. So I look at that and I go, $80 million of free cash flow, and we're trading at $120 million-ish market cap. That's a PE ratio of 1.5. We should be trading at a PE ratio of 5, at least. I mean, I could argue we should be higher, but because we've got a good growth story. So I think that's a heck of a good value. So yeah, I bought stock, I think around $12, somewhere in that neighborhood. And I just recently bought stock in the $10 range. So, and I'm going to continue to buy. I think it's a steal.
Well, okay, so if I may, Rick, let me just talk to my viewers and listeners. I'm very biased on this story. I am a shareholder. I'm an active shareholder. If you're looking for a value play, it really doesn't get any better than that. Those are my comments, Rick. Also, to all my viewers, this was not set up. I did not script this. Anything like this, I just see this as an extreme value play. So Rick, comment on what you got coming. If there's any news you can comment coming out in the next 30, 60, 90 days that investors should be knowing, or if you can comment on that, and I'm pulling here, maybe you can't. What should they be aware of and stay tuned for?
Yeah, I know it's going to be a busy next couple of quarters. I guess first order of business would be our preliminary economic assessment or PEA on our Johnson Tract project. It's a little later than I would have liked it. I was trying to get it done by March, but it looks like it'll come in by the end of April. I'm very excited to get that news out to the market. It's a fantastic project. It's another great example of a direct shipping ore model and how that's going to work. I think it's going to have a value very similar to Manh Choh in terms of the amount of gold that it can produce. We see this as an underground mine, so we'll be mining at about half the rate that we mine the Manh Choh project, which is 3,000 tons a day as Manh Choh. This will probably be something in about half that, about 1,500 tons a day. But as you know, and we've talked about this before, one of the unique things about the Johnson Tract project is that the ore body itself, it'll be an underground mine. But the ore body averages about 40 meters wide, which is exceptionally wide for an underground mining opportunity. And if you imagine being in the middle of a football field and looking to the goalpost, that's about the width of an average stope in this mine. I've never been in a mine like that, actually, to be honest with you, in an underground mine. So I guess I have. It was a block cave mine, but that's a different kind of beast. But and this is a good grade. This is 9.4 grams per ton. So when you've got big long hole stopes like that, it's low cost, relatively low cost underground mining. And so I'm very excited to get that PA out. The other work we're doing is permitting related. So I know that's not exciting news for the market, but it's the down in the trenches work that you have to do. And, the recent executive orders that are coming out of this administration are very supportive of mining and very supportive specifically of mining in Alaska. I think there's recognition that Alaska is a resource treasure trove, both in energy and critical metals. And our Johnson Tract project is it's a beast of a critical metals project. It's great grade copper, zinc, and gold and silver. So we're excited to get this study out.
Okay, let me just ask real quick. I want to make sure I've heard this correct, because I've never heard this before. You said the vein is 40 yards wide.
Is that correct? Well, yeah, meters, but yeah, yards and meters. That's about a 10% difference there, but yeah,
okay, plus 40 minus. Meters wide.
Yeah, like we're pretty. You stand in the middle of a football field and look at the goalpost. That's about 40.
I've never heard of anything like that. I'm not doubting you either. I'm just, wow, that's crazy. I would love to see that.
I'll put my geologic nerd hat on here, but it's not a vein. It's more of a breccia. It's almost looks like a big tooth, in shape now. And it's a rootless tooth right now because it's open at depth. We're very excited to get the permitting done, get underground and drill out the bottom of this thing. And then geologically, this is a breccia. It's copper, lead, zinc, gold, silver. And it's very strongly gold, silver bias. So it is being fed by a porphyry system at depth, and that will be exciting to explore for. So that's down the road, but I'm a geologist by background, and we've had a lot of success in exploration. And part of that success is knowing what you're looking for. I'm almost a fan of saying exploration. If you don't know what you're looking for, you're not going to find it.
Okay, so I'm not going to push you on that. Meaning, I'm very curious, very very curious. I think we'll leave that for another talk, but it just sounds to me that there's a lot of potential there.
I'm excited about it. It's why we acquired the property. And our direct shipping model is really going to apply well here. It's really well located. We're 20 road miles from the coast. So, exciting what's going on right now. So,
yeah, that's fantastic. And just comment to my viewers and listeners, Rick's talking a lot about grade. This is how I look at grade. And Rick, please correct me if I'm wrong. That's like your margin. So the higher the number, the more margin you're going to get in going into production. Correct, Rick?
Yeah. I mean, there's a long old saying in the mining industry that grade is king. And it's absolutely true. It's not the only metric, but it really is the most important metric. And certainly for our DSO model, this is, you know, why we sort of, when we look at projects, we don't get excited about, you know, 1 gram, because you can barely get 1 gram to the edge of the pit. So you have to really, we go after projects in our DSO model that meet a set of criteria that start with grade. They've got to be able to more than afford the transport ride to the mill that they're going to. And again, we do that because then we don't have to pay and permit our own mill, tailings facility, and power plant, which is, I think everybody that has worked in North America knows, takes a hell of a long time. So we avoid all that. We have a very small environmental footprint, which makes permitting go quicker. And we work on private land, which also helps make permitting go quicker. But you're absolutely right, Andy. Grade is king. It's the first criteria that we look at.
Yeah, and about that, and I'm probably taking you too long, but Rick and I, when I first met Rick last summer, and we were telling me about just the permitting process and getting in production. And I'm going by memory here, but it was like 12 to 18 months, which, correct me if I'm wrong, Rick, but that is just unheard of. And you did that because of really doing it on private lands, the relationships you have with the local communities and treating them well and being very upfront and honest with them. And then also just the way you're doing it as far as sending it to the mill, as well as the partnerships that you have in the industry and all of that sort of thing. So it's just the way you permitted and got this thing off the ground was exceptionally fast. So. Yep.
In Rancho, you know, we have both state and federal permitting. So, and we at Manchu, it took us 9 months to get the federal permits. So it's a wetlands permits called a four permit. It's issued by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And then a little bit later, we did the mine operating permit closure plan with the state of Alaska, which also took 9 months, but they weren't exactly lined up. So yeah, it's a total of about 15 months to start to finish permitting.
Yeah, that is just unheard of. So well done, my friend. I'm really looking forward to hearing more great news as the quarter progresses. Again, I want to just reiterate, I am very biased on this story. I am a shareholder. I have some family that are large shareholders. And this is a value that is just a fantastic value if you look at PE ratios. So any final thoughts, Rick?
Yeah, you'd mentioned the news flow, so I just wanted to mention we started our campaign in May, obviously, and again, roughly 30 days, and then also our quarterly for Q1 will not only report the total gold sales, but also blend sustaining costs, and hopefully we'll do better than 1625, but that's our guidance that we're giving right now. So I think we're well on track for delivering 60,000 ounces of gold this year, and gold price is strong. So we're generating a lot of free cash flow, and got the siren in the background there. Sorry about that.
It's okay. And if you guys want more information about Contango Ore, click on one of the cards and fill out the info, get on their mailing list. I'm not going to spam you, but this is a great list to be on, if you would. And Rick, give us your website as well as the exchanges that you're on and the tickers.
Yeah, so website is www.contangoore.com. There's two O's next to each other, so it looks a little odd, but that is correct. And we are on the, our symbol is CTGO. We are on the NYC American, and that is the only trading firm that we're on. So pretty simple to find.
Yeah, I'll put all of this in the show notes below on the YouTube channel, as well as the Apple and Spotify podcasts. And just so all of our viewers know, Rick is calling me from Europe here, as we mentioned in the beginning. So sorry for all the any technical difficulties. And just really thank you for taking the time, Rick, and making this work.
Great to catch up again, Andy, and look forward to getting caught up in another month or so. We'll see.
Yeah, I'd love that. All right. Take care, Rick. Thank you.
Yeah. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.